Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I guess as Andy's prayed, everybody knows that our great Congress and Senate here in New York State has approved the worst law they could have approved, but that's what's happening in New York State. Okay, with that, though, I wanted to just continue on here. We still have a few more weeks in Daniel. I don't think we'll get finished tonight. We're in the middle of chapter 11 of Daniel, and I just wanted to go over, since we didn't share last week, what we learned so far about the Antichrist. If you remember, at the end last 2 weeks ago, we talked about the 9 points that Daniel makes about the Antichrist when he comes. The first one was that he does as he pleases. He does whatever he wants to do. He's not following God. He's not doing what God wants. He does what he wants to do. These are the notes. If anybody doesn't have the notes, they're up here. He's going to be an atheist. He's going to exalt himself above all gods, even the Lord God himself. He will curse the name of the Lord, blaspheming his holy name. Now, these are the things that he will do. And, you know, as we look at the signs of the time, we certainly see that the world is starting to look for a world leader, that's for sure. He will be used by the Lord as an agent of judgment upon the wicked world. He will not give attention to the God of his fathers. He will reject Jesus, having no regard for him. He will exalt himself above all. He will honor the imperial state as the supreme power. And finally, he will gain power by military conquests and even peaceful negotiations or treaties that he's going to make. Because you know he's going to make a treaty with Israel. Supposedly that will last 7 years, but then in 3.5 years he will turn. Okay, so let's start by just reading the end now of Daniel chapter 11, as we conclude chapter 11. At the time of the end, the king of the south shall attack him. This is, of course, attack him, meaning attack the Antichrist. But the king of the north shall rush upon him like a whirlwind, with the chariots and horsemen and with many ships. And he shall come into the countries and shall overflow and pass through. He shall come into the glorious land, and tens of thousands shall fall. But these shall be delivered out of his hand, Edom and Moab and the main part of the Ammonites. He shall stretch out his hand against the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. He shall become ruler of the treasures of gold and of silver and of all the precious things of Egypt. And the Libyans and the Cushites shall follow him in his train. Okay, let's go back. Okay, so there's a little bit more of what will happen to the Antichrist. Really, this is talking about his conquest, if you will. You know, as we just read some of these, he's going to come in and really start to conquer all of these nations. And, you know, one of the things I tried to point out, and I want you to just keep your mind open, is that the traditional view, of course, is that this Antichrist is going to come from a 10-member nation, which is coming out of the European Empire. But there is a view, because remember, we're living now where we're seeing more of what God is doing in the world than people living in the 18th, 19th, even the 20th century. And there are those who believe that really there'll be a caliphate. And because when he talks about these countries, the north and the south, he's not really, even though it's Gog and Magog, he's really talking about Turkey and Egypt and Syria. He's talking about the Arab nations that are surrounding Israel. And so just keep your mind open that it doesn't necessarily have to be a 10-member nation coming from Europe or out of Europe. It could be a Muslim caliphate that starts and comes in to attack Israel. Okay, a coalition of Arab nations. It says he will invade the beautiful land. Of course, that is Israel. And of course, this will give him an opportunity when he comes in to actually break the peace treaty that he made with them. He comes in and he can now, at the end of 3.5 years, he can break his peace treaty and actually now rule or conquer Israel. You notice we mentioned three different countries there, Edom, Moab, and Ammon. And they will not be destroyed by his army. Why? I have no idea, neither does anybody else. But I'm sure it has to do, again, with this issue of the tribes when they first existed. And if you want to do some studying, you might want to go back there and look at that. Let's go on now as we go into the next section here. But news from the east and the south shall alarm him, and he shall go out with great fury to destroy and devote many to destruction. And he shall pitch his palatial tents between the sea and the glorious high holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end with none to help him. And so here now Daniel in chapter 11 is telling us that at the end, Antichrist is going to be defeated. Now he doesn't say how yet. Maybe he will tell us that in chapter 12. We don't know, but you don't know yet. You haven't read it, so we'll see when we get there. But again, you know, all of this is going on. The Antichrist conquering. And it says here this great destruction that will come upon the nation of Israel and all these surrounding Arab nations. I did want to point out, though, that other scriptures that talk about these things that we've just read here talk about an over 200 million man army that will come from the east. Certainly it will be an army of energized by demonic forces. And so there's going to be a great battle. We all have heard the word, the Battle of Armageddon, that will be coming, which will be fought in the Valley of Megiddo. Actually, Armageddon means the Mountain of Megiddo. And those of us who had a chance to go to Israel this last time, we actually had a chance to see this site and see what would happen there. Huge valley, just huge. Although the mountains aren't too big, but it is a huge, huge valley. Okay, now I'm going to get to the point really I wanted to get to. I hope I have it here. Okay, 12. Now, before I start, let me ask you a question, because I know everybody certainly has gone through some end time prophecy. When it talks about the restrainer, it talks about there'll be a time here on earth when God restrains evil like he's doing now. But he says that he will take the restrainer away. And when that happens, I hate to say it, all hell will break loose on planet earth. How many of you have been taught that the restrainer, first of all, is the church? How many have been taught the restrainer is the church? Oh, we have one. Okay, and how many have been taught that the restrainer is the Holy Spirit? Okay, so we have those. Well, I'm going to give you a third interpretation. And the reason that I don't believe so much it's the Holy Spirit, although I know that's the traditional view, is because people get saved during the tribulation. You can't get saved without the Holy Spirit. There's no way you can get saved unless the Spirit of God saves you. Remember, your salvation didn't depend on anything you did. It didn't depend on somebody else sharing the gospel with you. It wasn't a work that you did. It was a revelation brought to you by God. You were born again by the Spirit of God. So my view, and again, you don't have to believe me. You could believe the traditionalists. It's all right. Would say that the Spirit of God still has to be here in some way when the 144,000 Jews go out during this tribulation period to save many. I am sure the Holy Spirit's going with them, because they're not doing it in their own work, or in their own right, if you will. Okay, so let's read this section. And at that time shall arise Michael, the great prince, who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never has been seen since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. Okay, so we have this time, it says, at that time. And of course, the time he's talking about is this great tribulation time that's coming. And this verse that we just read really has three significant facts. The first one deals with Michael. Michael, the archangel, who will arise to save Israel. However, let's find out really what is going on here. Because back in Daniel chapter 10, he says, "But I will tell you what is inscribed in the book of truth. There is none who contends by my side against these except Michael, your prince." So we're told here that Michael is the one, if you will, I don't want to use the term principality. He's the archangel that is protecting Israel. He is the angel that God has assigned to protect Israel. Now there are some, I know there are some in the Calvinist stream who believe that Michael is just another name for Jesus. You know, just as we'll learn on Sunday about Melchizedek, but the issue is it really another name for Jesus, or is Michael really an archangel? And I believe Michael really is an archangel, and as the scripture says, he's been assigned to, if you will, to contend for Israel. The word contends here, by the way, this Hebrew word for contend really is the word that means restrains or binds. So Michael restrains, if you will. He restrains the powers that are coming against Israel. And of course, when he says against these, contends on my side against these. That's talking about demonic forces. And so Michael is the one that is contending with the demonic forces in heaven to countermand, if you will, the power that the enemy wants, the evil power that Satan wants to use against Israel. But notice it says that at that time, again, Michael, the great priest who has charge, he says, shall rise. Now the word for rise there is the word Amad, A-M-A-D, Amad. And it means stand. In other words, if you have a King James, you'll see it doesn't say rise. Michael will rise. Let's go back to that scripture. Wrong way. It says, at that time shall arise Michael. I know in the King James it says stand. As a matter of fact, it says more than stand. It says stand up, I believe. If you check your Bible and see what it says here in Daniel 12. But the word Amad means stand. Now, I'll give you two different interpretations. You can be sitting down in a chair and then stand up. So the word Amad is used there. Or you could be standing, and then the word Amad is used once again in that place, meaning that as you stand, you're just standing. You're not moving, you're just standing. In other words, you're not doing anything, you're just standing. You're already standing, now you stand. You stand in the position you're in. And I believe that's really what's being said here about Michael. In other words, Michael, who is restraining these demonic forces, if you will, is now standing. He's just standing there, and in reality, he's the one that is being restrained, is not restraining. As a matter of fact, let's go through this verse, which I have here in Thessalonians. Okay, you don't want to go. And you know what is restraining him now, so that he may be revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. And so, Michael, God now has chosen Michael just to stand and not restrain the powers that are coming upon Israel. Because as we get into chapter 12 here, you will see that Israel is literally going to be destroyed. You know, you might ask yourself at times, why would God allow that? Why would God allow Israel, his nation, if you will, to be destroyed after they've come together? Look at what's happened now. It's almost 2,000 years and Israel now has come back. And of course, those of us believe now that the time clock has started. We're closer and closer to the 12 o'clock hour. And yet God's going to allow the forces of the Antichrist to come in and literally destroy most of Israel. And, you know, you if you want, you could ask God that question. Maybe in your prayer closet you should ask him, why, God, would you allow? That's all part of God's plan. And, of course, as we'll get into, we're going to see exactly what that means. Remember, you know, one of the questions that the unbelievers always ask is, why does God do this? Why is it that God allows evil to be here? Why does God allow children to be born maimed? Why does God allow wars? Why doesn't he just come down and just wipe them all out and send us all on to heaven? Why does he do that? Well, first of all, I need to say the problem doesn't lie with God, does it? I think we went over what God is like this Sunday. So the problem isn't on God's side, it's on our side. Why has it taken 6,000 years for God to fulfill his redeeming plan for man? I don't know. I have no idea. When you get to heaven, you could ask God, but that's what it's taking for God to do what he has to do, to purge, if you will, purge sin out from this place called earth. So here we have the issue of Michael. Michael withholds his protection during this time of trouble, as this verse says. At this time of trouble, not this verse, let's go back again. And at that time arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as the world has never seen. And this one, again, doing the straining, causes the restraining of the Antichrist, but his hand now is lifted off, and the Antichrist goes in and destroys much of Israel. And so the second point is, this is a great time of distress, unparalleled suffering for the world, for the Israelites. As a matter of fact, Jesus says this in Matthew 24. He says, for then shall be great tribulation, just as the world such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. In other words, even Jesus says that the destruction, the epidemic proportions when it comes upon this place called earth, that no flesh would be able to stand if it were not that he was going to shorten the days. As a matter of fact, in Zechariah, I don't have it up here, but I'll read you one other verse. Zechariah 13, it says, "And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, and the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, I will hear them, I will say, it is my people, they shall say, the Lord is my God." Now, that verse is telling us that there will be a group that will be saved. Not all will die, there will be a group that will be saved. And again, Daniel is going to mention that here in chapter 12 as we get into it next week. He talks about the wise and the unwise, and those that will be redeemed and those that will not be redeemed. Okay, so I guess the last point let's just make here in this verse is that the believers, the true believers, will be delivered through the great tribulation. And by delivered, that doesn't mean that they're not going to be persecuted, doesn't mean that they're not going to suffer, doesn't mean that some of them are not going to be martyred. They will be martyred. All of these things will happen during this time, but yet they will be saved. And they'll be saved, again, even from the second death, which is yet to come for the unbelievers, as we get into that later on in this chapter. Okay. I think for tonight we're going to end here because I don't want to go any further. I don't want to go into verses 12 and 3 because it will take too much time. But so again, just reminding you, so the restrainer, who is the restrainer? Is the restrainer the church? Is the restrainer the Holy Spirit? Or is the restrainer Michael the archangel? It talks about he will restrain, he. And the word there, of course, I believe takes out the church, because the church is usually looked as in a feminine way. And, of course, the Holy Spirit could be a he, or Michael the archangel could be a he. So if you want, dig into the scriptures. Look up some of the other verses about Michael and see what you believe will be the restrainer. By the way, the hopes are, depending on what your view is of the rapture, maybe you won't be here. So it doesn't matter who the he is because you won't care. It could be, you know, but we don't know that. And certainly, I don't know what your view is, whether you're pre-trib, mid-trib, or pre-wrath, or you're amillennial, or whatever view you hold to. The issue, again, is that there is a restrainer, and it might be good to know who that is. Okay, by the way, you know, we're told that Michael the archangel did something. He had to contend. Does anybody know what he had to contend for? The body of Moses. He had to contend for the body of Moses. Notice, again, Moses is Jewish, a Hebrew, and so that's why Michael, again, is there contending, because he is the archangel that has been put as the, if you will, the angel in charge of defending or protecting Israel as a nation. We could say, well, he must have fell asleep there for 2,000 years. Something happened, right? Okay, anything on anybody's heart? Anybody want to share anything here concerning this?
It's amazing that it says even the Holocaust, it was so horrific, right, from history.
And oh, yeah.
Now this is going to be worse than the Holocaust.
Oh, yeah.
For the Jewish people.
Worse.
How can that be worse.
Because, you know, again, what's happening, as always, now, again, if there's anybody Jewish here, we're not condemning. We love the Jewish people. But the issue, again, if you look at it, they've always been, by the way, so have we, stiff-necked and rebellious. Always. And so even here in this glorious end where they have these books that they could read like Daniel and come to the understanding that something is going to happen to Israel and realize it and get saved, but yet 144,000 will be saved and they will go out and they will, again, evangelize many. But yeah, you wonder. But even here in America, even here in our own country, you know, at one time we had many saved. Many, there were many born-again Christians. Today, I wonder really what's going on. And that's why, you know, as Andy mentioned about praying, you need to pray. You need to pray for this generation that's coming up right now. You know, we would call them the millennial generation. You would call the ones that are even after that. You need to pray for them because...
Like their generation
Right. They're being indoctrinated, and their soul is being taken from them, in a sense. And yet, you know, for those of you who might have watched the march down there in Washington, the number was just incredible. We've been there a few times, and this march was just, the numbers were staggering. If you could just see the block long, there were just hundreds of thousands. And most of them were young kids. When I say young, up to young adults, college students, high school students. They probably outnumbered the elders by, I'm going to say probably at least maybe 8-1, 9-1, something like that. It was tremendous, the amount of them there. Okay. Anybody else? Now, if there's anything on your heart, this is the time to let it out, you know. Any good questions, any hard things you might be holding on to here. It's always a good time to see what the answer might be to your question. Okay. Father, again, as always, we thank you for your goodness. As we continue to just mull through the book of Daniel, hopefully, you know, Lord, as we continue on now, and as this book is closed and we get into the book of Revelation, you'll give us more insight into the coming end of the age. And we thank you for it. We thank you that, again, all of this is really to encourage us to build our faith. And so we do thank you for all your speaking to us as we continue to study. Just bless our time now. Bless the remaining part of this week. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.